Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. It's good to be with you as we kick off our 10th year of the Small Business Advocate Show. That's right. Today is the day we're literally beginning the 10th year of the Small Business Advocate Show. Had our obnoxious 9th year anniversary week last week. And as I told you, I warned you it was going to be obnoxious, but not too obnoxious. We had a lot of fun in celebrating the 9th anniversary, and we're kind of proud of that too, by the way, folks. And as I'm sure, if you're a small business owner, as you know I am, you know what I'm talking about. Tom Rath, ladies and gentlemen, is back with us. Tom's a friend of ours, a member of our Brain Trust. He's the co-author of New York Times number one bestseller and Business Week bestseller too, How Full Is Your Bucket?, which I'm happy to say I introduced you to a couple of years ago. He's got a new book out that we've also talked about on the show, Vital Friends, where he talks about the impact of friendships on the workplace, on you, on your performance in the workplace, on the ability of your company to accomplish its goals, its mission, and to be successful. And he's back to give us another dose of this good information. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Good to talk to you again, Jim, and congratulations on almost a decade.
How about that?
Pretty neat to hear.
Well, it's pretty exciting. And we thank you for, as a member of our Brain Trust, for the role that you played in helping us get to this point. And of course, it's always good to have you back because, as you know, we find good folks, we find smart folks, we try to hold on to them. I think that friendships at work are things that we've all had, that we all know about. But I think maybe we don't fully value. I guess I shouldn't say we don't value them, because I know we do value them, but I'm not sure that we ever slow down long enough, or we rarely slow down long enough to realize the impact that they have on our lives. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's a real interesting question to think about, especially as it applies to small businesses, because they have a unique opportunity where I'm sure a lot of the people who are listening to your show are in leadership and management positions within smaller businesses, and thinking about what can they do to build a more productive and a more positive environment overall. And one of the things that so often gets overlooked are just building friendships between people. I think there's been a tendency, especially over the last 10, 20 years, to look at the risk of what happens if people get too close in the workplace. And so people build a lot of walls around themselves as companies grow, and that inadvertently prevents friendships in most cases.
You know, when I was coming up as a young pup, Tom, there were still plenty of people working in major corporations that, you know, that were in there, you know, they were finishing up their 30, 40 year careers there. They were, you know, they were well into those careers. And so in those days, and I'm talking about late 60s, early 70s, we still didn't quite know that wasn't going to be what the rest of us were going to do. And so you expect to be somewhere for a long time in those days. And so you settle in and you make friends. Today's young people, these younger generations coming up, Tom, everybody knows they're going to work maybe as many as eight to a dozen different places during their career. Is that going to impact the way they make friends?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a broader topic, but there's quite a shift going on in terms of the way we make and maintain friendships right now, especially with that much younger generation who's just starting to enter the workforce now, where let's say 20, 30 years ago, the word friend really meant a lot. And mm-hmm. over the years, the word friendship or a friend has come to lose a lot of its exclusivity, where today it's probably closer to what you might have called an acquaintance a few mm-hmm. decades back, I'd say. And, you know, as you look at these new social networking sites that are in the press a lot, whether you talk about a MySpace or a Facebook or a Friendster, the kids who are on those sites have 400, quote, friends in their network. So, right. you see, in a real positive sense, you see a broadening of general connections between people. And then you also see maybe a little bit more closeness at the very center of your network. But what I wonder about is what happens at the middle there, where there are kind of friendships that are at a medium distance or working pretty close friendships that might not get as much attention. It might start to look like the migration patterns you see in big cities, where it kind of pinches out the middle at some point.
Well, is it important that we have titles for these people, or is it just important that we just gravitate to those that are deeper?
Well, what we found in a lot of our research is that it is pretty important within your very closest network. So the people who you really talk to each week, that you do understand what roles they play in your life, and you understand what are the things you're doing to contribute to their overall well-being and achievement. Not so much so that you kind of can slot in your own network, but more so you have clear expectations around, okay, this is the friend I know I should go to when I really need good big-picture advice, versus this is the friend I should seek out when I want to go out and unwind and have a good time after a long day, because they both make a difference in a very different way.
What does, you know, one of the things we try to do here on the show, Tom, is talk about the opportunities and the challenges that small business owners have today and in the future working with the younger generations, the Gen X's, the Gen Y's. And obviously, they're clearly in the marketplace. We're hiring them. They work for me, some of the folks in the younger generation. And they connect with their friends, as we've been calling them, on a lot of different levels and much more constantly than I ever did when I was their age. How is that going to impact the way they work for us and with us?
Well, you know, I think maybe the most important near-term implication is, and I've seen some surveys indicating this recently, is that people coming into the workforce now expect that they kind of should, will, or deserve to have friends on the job. So, whereas it might have been more of a career in the past, as you ask people who are younger and have moved around from, let's say, 3-4 jobs already, they'll quickly remember the one they enjoyed most. And when I ask them why they enjoyed it, they'll point back to some of their closest relationships on the job.
Right.
So
Right. There's
in a positive sense, there's a real desire to have a job where you have, one, friends, and two, a broader meaning and purpose, and we're seeing more and more of that in the data that we look at.
And we're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to get Tom to help us boil all this down to what it means to the success of our company. Right after these messages, it's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're visiting with our good friend Tom Rath. He is the author of Vital Friends. It's a new book. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. There's that little band from Texas. We're visiting with our friend Tom Rath. And Tom is co-author of the bestseller book, How Full Is Your Bucket? But his new book is called Vital Friends, of which he is the author. And the subtitle is The People You Can't Afford to Live Without, Your Vital Friends. Tom, give us your website, please.
The website's www.vitalfriends.com.
And they can find the book. Can they read a little bit about the book there?
Yeah, they can read a little bit about the book, and there's an assessment that goes along with it as well they can check out.
All right, sounds good. Tom, if I'm a small business owner, you say, and by the way, folks, Tom spent a number of years with the Gallup organization doing research. So when he does research, he knows how to do it. So the stuff you get in this book is good stuff. Tom, what do we, when we're managing a business as a manager or as an owner, as I am, what should I do? I mean, obviously, no one would discourage friendships in the business. I can't imagine anybody would do that. I certainly wouldn't want to work for somebody like that. But what should we do as managers and owners to help people cultivate their friendships on the job?
Well, you know, I know it's real hard for you, right, to imagine, Jim, but I did interview a couple of people who work for two of the largest apparel retailers in the world. And they literally do prohibit friendships among people who are at any different level in the company. So
really?
Some of the regulations.
How do you do that? This is not China. How do you do that?
They have a sign up in the back on the back wall.
Don't make friends, you'll be fired.
It says if you see someone outside of work socializing with someone of another level or rank in the company, call this 800 number. And I've talked to a few people who have been reported multiple times for having dinner with someone they work with, not even their direct boss, just another person they work with.
Unbelievable. I hope all those employees have gone somewhere else now.
I know. It was maddening to talk to people who work in some of these companies. So, anyhow, back to what can managers do when they don't have to deal with some of the regulations like that. What we've found, we've studied more than 1 million managers around the world right now, and we've found that they really do get to know each person who works for them on a very personal level, so they know what's going on in their lives, they know when there's something going really wrong, they know when there's something going well, they know how many children they have, what their kids are up to, and they invite those personal discussions into the work group all the time, and they invite people into their homes, their employees into their homes for dinners to get to know their families, and eventually, I mean, there are a lot of little things you do along the way, but then eventually it turns into an environment that looks a lot more like a family when you show up at work each day. And after studying this for so long, we found that, you know, even if once every few months there's a you look more like a dysfunctional family, it's better than not having a family at all at work.
Yeah. You know, it seems to me that the younger generations want to have their work life be a component of what they consider to be their quality of life.
Yeah, those two are getting closer and closer where, you know, at Gallup, we study both workplace engagement, and we've done a lot of research in the area of positive psychology, which deals with happiness and life satisfaction in a more general sense. And while those were two very separate worlds even five years ago, you're starting to see those two come together where all of a sudden companies are caring about people's general well-being, and maybe companies, the larger organizations in some cases I know, care about it because of reduced health care costs and so on. But I think at an individual level, people are starting to care about it for the sake of their own relationships and family lives when they get home.
Well, see, when I was... years ago, before all the technology, your coworkers were your friends because they were the people you talked to on a regular basis. If you had a problem, if you had a concern, if you were happy about something, whatever. Today, with the text messaging and instant messaging and email and all that sort of thing, you can literally fulfill your friendship quotient, whatever you need in a day, outside of the office with your friends outside of the office without developing friendships inside the office. And that can be unproductive, can it?
Yeah, you know, that's where the huge risk lies. It's easy to do that, and it's easy to separate that out. And I've gotten caught in that trap myself at times. And the result of it is when we've got a guy I work with who's a Nobel Prize winning psychologist.
Wow.
And he studied 700 people and asked them, in the moment during a day, what do they really enjoy doing? So if you go back and say, at the moment you were doing X, Y, and Z, who are you with? And then they found out. So it's really a pretty clean test of who you enjoy being with.
Mm-hmm.
And time with friends came out number one on that list.
Wow.
Second was time with your spouse or significant other, and I think relatives was third. At the very bottom of that list, dead last, was time spent with your boss. Second from last was time spent with your coworkers, and third from last was time spent with your clients and customers. So, spending time with your boss came out one notch below when you look at general activities, cleaning the house. So there's a real disconnect there where we don't put much time or attention towards making friends on the job, and Then I think all the studies I've looked at would suggest that we spend the majority of our waking time at work. So if you don't have friends there, that's a real problem for your general well-being, too.
Well, you know what, Tom? You need to come back another day and help us get that spend time with the boss numbers up there a little bit. We got to work on that a little bit, don't we?
That'll take some time. Yes, it will.
Will you take the challenge?
I'd love to.
Hey, Tom, we'd like love to have you back. Thanks for being here today. Congratulations again on the book. Give us a website again, please.
Thanks so much. It's www.vitalfriends.com.
Vital Friends, that's the title of the book. Tom Rath, R-A-T-H, is the author. Thanks, Tom. See you next time. Quick break, right back with Steve Del Bianco. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.